Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of React Native Radio. This week on our panel, we have Josh Justice.
Hello, hello.
I'm Charles Max Wood from DevChat.tv. And this week, we have a special guest, and that's Jamin Holmgren.
Hey, everybody.
Infinite Red is a US-based consultancy specializing in React and React Native. They do mobile app and web design and development. They are deeply involved in the React and React Native open source communities, publish the React Native newsletter with 10,000 subscribers, and are involved with the React Native core development. If you have a project and need design or engineering help from an experienced team to take it all the way from concept to completion, get in touch with Infinite Red. Also check out Chain React, the React Native conference, which is hosted by Infinite Red in July in Portland with 500 developers from all around the world. You can find them at infinite.red. Make sure to mention you heard about them in this ad.
Now, Jamin, I actually saw you, last week?
Yeah.
You know, something like that?
Yep.
Josh probably did too. We were all at Chain React. Do you want to just give us a brief introduction, let people know who you are, why you're awesome, all that stuff?
Yeah, I can definitely give the first part. Second part, we might have to work on a little bit. I'm one of the owners of Infinite Red. We're a software consultancy. Build mobile apps, design and build mobile apps, as well as some web, and also one of the organizers of Chain React, which you mentioned, which is a conference for React Native developers here in the U.S. Just held a week ago from Friday, I guess it was. In Portland. So, that's kind of mostly what I'm known for. And I live near Portland, with my wife and four kids. So that's kind of the primary thing. I'm also pretty active on Twitter.
Nice. Four kids. You're almost as crazy as me.
How many do you have, Chuck?
I have five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with three kids myself, I don't know if I've been like the lowest in any group I've been in the past.
That's true. Yeah. So we've got this four average going on here. This is pretty good.
Yeah. So cool. Well, I've had some conversations with various people at Infinite Red. Gant is usually on this show. He's another one of the owners, I think, at Infinite Red.
He is, yeah. So we have three owners, Todd Wirth and myself, as well as Gant, who you mentioned. Gant was unfortunately not able to make it to Chain React this year because he and Alicia just had a new baby. So they are quite busy right now.
Yep. Yeah, it's always a fun time. It's also a time where you get a little less sleep and things like that. But
yeah, I can tell. He's a little more loopy than normal.
Which is saying something.
I was going to say, this is Gant. Are you sure? So we brought you on to talk a little bit about Chain React. We'll probably talk a little bit about Infinite Red and a few other things too. Do you kind of want to give us a rundown on how the conference was started?
Yeah, so it was 2016. We had been doing React Native for about a year. I think we started in October of 2015, which was when, React Native for Android, iOS had been out for a while, but React Native Android came out in September of 2015. And so we did it for about a year. And then I reached out on Twitter. I said, hey, does anybody know of any React Native specific conferences? Because I would like to send my developers to that. And it was just crickets. Like nobody answered, which really surprised me. I would have thought that React Native would already have a conference by that point. So I thought about it for a little while, and then later I brought it to my team and I said, hey, what if we did the conference? What if we made the conference? And, we were a team of only, I think we were less than 25 at that time. And so it was a little crazy for us to be thinking about doing this, but the idea really took hold. And so Shawnee Danner was working for us at that time as an internal project coordinator. And we gave it to her and said, hey, don't drop the ball. Let's make this good. We also had Gant, who has been to every conference that's ever been, it seems like, and spoken at most of them. And he really put a lot of, he was really good at kind of understanding you know, what was a good idea, what was not a good idea. Shawnee had never been to a conference. Her first conference was the one that she organized, as far as a tech conference anyway. And it was a pretty big deal to pull off, like a lot of moving parts. But in 2017, we threw our first Chain React and it was a big success. So that gave us the motivation to keep going for another 2 years now so far.
Yeah, I'll take the opportunity to go ahead and plug Chain React because I talk it up wherever I go. I went to three conferences last year and React was my favorite three. And I'm not just saying that. I would awkwardly avoid the topic if it was my least favorite of the three, but it was my favorite. And I think I just love the size. Like it's large enough that you get a lot of people you haven't met. There's a lot going on, a lot of people to talk through the multiple days. But by being one track, you're seeing all the same content as other folks. So there's lots to talk about with people. Not to mention the fact that like just, you know, major folks from the React Native Core team are showing up, sharing cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the production quality. I mean, the one, I think I've mentioned this to you before, Jamin, but just the speed of transitions between and the smoothness. So like unplugging a laptop, plugging in a new one. Like there's not, you're not seeing the blue screen and the screen resizing like at every other conference that I've been to. So it's just really great. And then being, doing a workshop this year, getting to see the inside, seeing Shawnee and others just kind of working through the logistics, making sure everything was smooth for me as a first time workshop giver. The quality was just top notch. So for all the listeners, I definitely recommend checking out Chain React. I mean, I had a blast. I really hope that I can make it back again next year. So great work to all of you for the 2 years I was there.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciated you coming and giving that workshop. It was really popular. Like a lot of people really wanted to hear about React Native testing. I know that's a hot topic.
Yeah. One other thing. I mean, this was my first year at Chain React, and it felt to me like some of the more regional sized conferences that I've been to in other technologies, specifically JavaScript and Ruby.
Yeah.
And I always like those better anyway, because I feel like I can walk through the conference and kind of see everybody and get to know more people and then things like that. And yeah. You get the space that you're in really is conducive to that. The totally. Theater over there in the Armory and in Portland. It's terrific that way. And you know, so I sat down at a table and, you know, we chatted with a bunch of other people and
right.
You know, I moved through and talked to a whole bunch of other folks and it was a terrific space that way too.
And absolutely.
The attendees were top notch. It was great. The speakers were great. Everybody was just friendly.
Yeah, totally. We've talked off and on about, you know, cause like last year, 2018, we actually sort of hit, sort of like our soft sellout number, which is in the, like, I forget the exact number, but it was in the 500s. And we can fit technically up to, I think, 595. I think that's the maximum that the Armory will take. And there was some talk about moving to a hotel and, you know, getting a larger space and maybe having multiple tracks and things like that. But I was very against that. I felt like the sort of the heart of Chain React was at the Armory, that feel, that space. This year we didn't sell out, which is fine with us. Like for us, anything above about 350, we're feeling fine about, as long as we can reasonably make, you know, break even ish. It's as long as we don't count our time, it's easier to hit that break even point.
Right.
I mean, it's like the Armory is amazing and their staff is really good. And it's very convenient for us because a lot of our team is in Portland. We have a small office in Vancouver, Washington, right across the river, which a lot of people told me, by the way, during the conference, they're like, I didn't know there was a Vancouver in Washington. I'm like, yeah, I live there. it's just a great space. It's a great size. I've been to those big conferences. I went to WWDC 16. I think there are 5,000 developers there. I went to ElixirConf 17. I gave a talk there and that was big. That was like 2,000 people. Each have their own, you know, I guess attractions and things like that. But when we're talking about the community that is, you know, React Native, in my opinion, I want to keep it small and cozy for the foreseeable future. So if you go, you're always going to feel like part of the group. You're not going to feel like you're by yourself in a big crowd, or you don't know where to go, or things like that. Like there's one track, there's one set of speakers, there's one party that you can go to. There's, you know, like everybody is in one spot and you can be part of the in crowd. Cause I know what it's like to go to those conferences and feel like you're alone in a big crowd. I don't want to be like that. Like that's not who I am. So I'm going to advocate all the way through about keeping it at the Armory and keeping it at feel for sure.
Yep.
Now, one of the big announcements from this year was the Hermes JavaScript engine that got announced as the very first session. I don't know enough technically about it to dig in too much there, but I was curious. I was really wondering, was there a big amount of coordination with the Facebook team that's like, hey, this thing is coming. Like, should we launch it then? Okay, cool. We'll launch it then. Well, let's decide what's going to be in. Or were you as surprised as everyone else? Like,
well, yeah, that's a great question, Josh. We knew something was coming. They told us that something was coming. But they were pretty cagey about it. They didn't tell us what it was. They were very, it was sort of a, and it almost seemed like they weren't sure that they were going to be able to get this out at this time. So they didn't want to promise anything. But we teased it anyway, you know, being who we are, we still, you know, said, hey, there's some big stuff coming. And, there was, you know, even like Rom's performance talk was a good one, from Facebook too. But then as the weeks got closer, they were like, yeah, we do have something. Pay attention to Mark's talk. You know, there's going to be something coming here. But they did not tell us what it was. They didn't give us any details. Unfortunately, I'd love to be able to say that, yeah, I was in the know, but I wasn't. We put his talk first. And they kind of wanted that. It's been one of these interesting things. Our relationship with Facebook over the past few years has been interesting because when we first started, they didn't know us from the next people. They did send some people to the conference, but it was sort of obviously they wanted to see how well we did with the conference. And we had Rom there. He was not working at Facebook at the time. He was working at Microsoft, but he loved it. He really has been a supporter of Chain React from the beginning. Then he went to work for Facebook and he's been an advocate for Chain React within Facebook since. And then when Christoph took over, it felt like they really kind of bought into Chain React and started kind of taking it. Christoph, of course, being the engineering manager of React Native at Facebook. And he's been really good at coordinating with us. He was very good at communicating, getting information over. So they really have started to treat Chain React as a platform for getting the word out about important things in React Native. We're going to continue to coordinate with them in future years as well. I know they do the same with React Native EU over there with our friends at Callstack, which I am going to that conference as well in Poland this year. So that'll be cool. This is one of the main avenues that they're going to be announcing new things. As long as obviously the schedules line up, they're not going to wait, 10 months to announce something just because it's at React.
Now, I was talking to someone at the conference, I forget who, and they said, I think it was a random attender, and they said, I'm here for the first time. Like, I was going to try to go to WWDC, and it didn't work out. I was going to try to go to Google I.O., and it didn't work out. So I'm at Chain React. I'm like, oh, well, you know, it's a fallback option. And they were like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, hopefully Infinite Red is pretty encouraged that they're up there in the running with the big dogs. So that's pretty exciting, and I think it reflects really well.
Yeah, that's a good point. In a lot of ways, we're trying to sort of punch above our weight, being like 30 people and try to have a little more impact on the world than 30 people maybe generally do. And this is, I guess, the biggest example of that. It's, honestly, it's been awesome. It's been a great experience. It was great to have have both of you there, have a chance to kind of chat with both of you. I'm actually interested to hear what your experience was going to Chain React. I know, Josh, you've talked a little bit about it, but I'd like to hear more.
Well, it's interesting too. You're talking about, you know, getting in and, you know, maybe punching above your weight and things like that. It's, I mean, I know some conferences that are fairly large that just started out with a handful of friends that were like, we need a conference like this. The one that comes to mind is ngConf. I'm really good friends with the guys that organize ngConf. Most of them live here in Utah. In fact, I think all of them live here in Utah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just got together and said, there's not really a big, you know, US wide or worldwide conference for Angular. And so they sat down, they figured it out. They reached out to the Angular team and the Angular team just embraced it and went for it. And so they had a whole bunch of people from the team show up. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're hitting here. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, people continue to, you know, be aware of it. And as the community grows, it becomes more and more of a resource for folks. Of course, if it grows enough, I guess you may have to consider moving out of the armory, but you know, the flip side of that is that, how do I put it? So ngConf, they're kind of a single track conference as well, except they have like 1500 people or so show up. And so I think there are ways that you can maintain that feel, as far as being able to come and meet up with people and things like that. But I will say, there was a top-notch conference, I also wound up chatting with Cindy a bit because I know her from other conferences, ConFreaks. And, but yeah, it kind of felt like just showing up and being with friends.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. And it's funny because I'm not as plugged into the React Native community as I am with some of the other communities, and it was still that way.
Yeah.
You know, I still just sat down and chatted with people that were sitting a seat or two down the row from me. And hey, where, you know, where do you work? What do you do? Right. What are you here for? What do you want to learn? You know, going and chatting with the sponsors, they were all delighted to be there. I mean, it was just terrific. And for me, that's what the conference really is typically about, is there's usually one or two topics where I'm like, wow, that was great. And then just all the terrific people I meet, it's just like, the, you know, this is awesome. And these people are wonderful.
It's a interesting intersection of skill sets because, like, you know, you need to have some reasonable JavaScript knowledge to do React Native, but it also really helps if you know native languages as well, especially Objective-C and Java, which, you know, obviously are kind of the primary languages underpinning React Native. And even if you don't know the languages, at least knowing the platform to some extent. And so when us, you know, like React Native developers go to a React conference, it feels like a little different world. And, you know, if you go to a native conference, it feels like a very different world. And then you go to a React Native conference and it's like, hey, I found my people. these are the people that understand the challenges that we have building apps using React Native or React with JavaScript on top of a native platform and trying to make it, trying to achieve those expectations that native app users have. And I think that's kind of an interesting challenge. It's a very interesting intersection of skills you have to make that happen. So when we all get together, it does feel like a family. And you mentioned, ngConf, and I think, another one that we look at as a model is React Rally.
Also here in Salt Lake.
Both of those exactly. Salt Lake. Yeah. There's something over there that's just right, I guess. But we look at that as being a model because they have a fantastic developer brand. Everybody seems to love React Rally. I've never been. I would love to go. I know that I think Gant has been, and
I met him there.
Oh, perfect.
I have a couch you can crash on. So
nice. Yeah, I'd love to go. It's, you know, we're looking for a similar feel. We patterned our schedule a little bit after, you know, like the long breaks and things like that after what React Rally's done, because they've got a great, great feel. And I think they've done a really good job of keeping it feel, you know, close and really welcoming. Unlike Chain React, React Rally sells out in the first little bit. Like tickets just go like that. Of course, they have a much larger audience when they're speaking to React developers, web developers. That's a much bigger audience. But
yeah, and they're in a smaller venue like yours too. Mm-hmm. They do it in Rose Wagner Theater. So
yeah, how many do you know? How many fit in that theater?
It's about the same size as the Armory.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, give or take 100.
Yeah. I honestly feel like you can keep doing that. You know, even if it does mean that, yeah, tickets go really quickly and stuff. You know, we're not looking to be event planners as a company, other than what we already do. We're doing this because we love the community. It's about the React Native community. And so for us, having, you know, if we did hit that theoretical 595 limit, I think that would be enough, even if it meant that, you know, then we could open up online streaming. There could be side events there. There are a lot of things that we could do to sort of grow the conference without pushing it into a different venue. I guess I'm just such a big fan of the Armory that that's how I'm going to advocate.
Well, it makes sense. And it's the same thing with NGConf is, they sell the tickets in stages and they sell out each stage within like a day or two. And that's what they've done. They've opened it up to streaming and allowed people to participate live that way.
That reminds me of, I used to work at a home builder way back before I was in tech. And this was in the good days of home building, 2002 to 2005. When everybody was buying homes like crazy, whether they could afford them or not. And we would open up a new neighborhood, like a new subdivision, and start selling out in phases. And people would literally camp out overnight on the sidewalk outside of the model home, the sales center that we had. We would basically build a house and then put a sales center inside the garage, like trick it all out and everything. So it was really nice. So people could walk through the house to see how it looked and felt and stuff, and then actually buy a house right there. And people would, like, we had, I remember one neighborhood, we had like 12 people camping on the sidewalk to wait in line to get in. It was nuts. So yeah, won't stop until we get people camping on the sidewalk to get into Chain React.
This episode is brought to you by TripleByte. Applying to programming jobs sucks. You have to put the right keywords in your resume, you spend hours and hours on the phone screens and take home projects, and that's assuming the company even responds to your application. Well, if you're a software engineer, TripleByte can help. They work with over 400 top tech companies, from big names like Dropbox and Adobe to exciting startups. You do one brief online interview with them, and if you do well, you go straight to final interviews with the company on their platform. It's like the Common App for software developers. TripleByte does not look at your resume or where you went to school. All they care about is if you can code. I've helped dozens of software developers with various credentials get jobs, and this looks like a terrific way for you to get in and get interviewed and get a job without a lot of the hassle and overhead. You can go check them out at triplebyte.com/reactradio. That's triplebyte.com, byte as in 8 bits. As a special offer for listeners of this show, if you take a job through TripleByte, they'll offer you a $1,000 signing bonus. So I'm curious, do most of your sponsors, it seems like a lot of them are people who are invested in the community, and then you've got a handful that also provide services and things that affect the community. I'm wondering, did you reach out to them? Did they reach out to you? You know, how does that all work out, and how do you pick them? Because,
right.
Yeah.
yeah, sponsors are interesting. There's... I guess in the beginning, we definitely were trying to reach out to different companies to see who would sponsor. It was kind of a big effort to do. We got a lot of people that were mostly interested in recruiting developers, which was fine with us. You know, it's not a bad thing to have a reputation where you can go to React Native and get a job. And I know that many people have done that. Where they've gone to React Native and gotten a job from, you know, going up to a booth and saying, hey, what do you have? And talking with the staff there. Some are providing services like, you know, Sentry and Bugsnag. You know, there's a lot of sort of, I guess that would be the main two reasons that people would sponsor. in the last 2 years, it's been a little easier because people know what to expect, and you know, sponsors are coming back for the third and hopefully the fourth time. They know what to expect. They know that this is a good conference to sponsor, to be a part of. You know, it's been a learning curve though, because this isn't something that's normally in our, you know, in our wheelhouse. We're designers and developers figuring all of this out as we go. But yeah, I'm very happy with the sponsors we've had so far. They've been really good. They've been really helpful, you know, really kind of on the ball and everything, making sure that they're there and representing their company well at the conference.
I've got kind of a similar question about choosing speakers. I think, Jamin, maybe one of the first times we interacted on Twitter a year ago or something, I remember the tweets I see are, what are the philosophical implications of immutability? And in the React Native community, I see like, and look at this cool stuff I can build with JavaScript. and so I saw a little bit of that in the speakers, like, because, like, you know, there's a lot of topics in React that would apply equally as well to React Native. And so, like, you could do a bunch of talks about those, or you can do React Native specific stuff. And so, like, some of the topics, the themes that I saw were, like, certainly Facebook engineers, like Lorenzo involved with the React Native community. So people in leadership sharing specific things that only they know, or new things that are coming along. There's like tool specific stuff, or like, you know, tips and like things about specifically how to get a React Native app in particular, you know, running well and performing well and going to production. So very technology specific things like that. And other general themes like accessibility in general and how that applies to React Native as a technology. So I'm curious if you select specifically like for things that would not work at a regular React conference. I guess on the flip side, I know that last year, Kent C. Dodds came and gave a talk about designing React components that applied equally as well on the web. So yeah, how do you decide what you do that's React Native specific versus general to React versus maybe even general beyond both of those technologies when it comes to speakers?
Yeah, that's a great question, Josh. You know what? We've sort of evolved on this over the last, this year, really, we've changed. So the first year we actually had, it was sort of, the thought was, we're going to do React Native, but what we're going to do is React anywhere but web. So we had a talk on React on, I think, did we have a React VR talk? There were some, you know, React Native on tvOS. There were some other, you know, just kind of like trying to make it interesting, like anything that's sort of out of the normal React web world is going to be at Chain React. And we kind of went with that. But most of the talks were React Native. That was kind of like the first indication that we had something going here. And the feedback we got from attendees was, you know, love the conference, everything. The speaker, like, content, like, you know, the speakers were great, but the content, the focus of the talks should be more React Native. And we went a little more that direction last year. And then this year, we went all in on React Native. Like, everything, as far as we could, React Native. And I actually think we got the most positive feedback about the speakers this year than we've ever had, just specifically because of the topics. So we definitely went more for React Native this year. And I think we're going to continue to just be React Native this, you know, in future years, and not delve into things that are too far outside of that. Now, there are things like accessibility for sure, that are topics within React Native. There's certainly topics that are broader, like larger than that. We had one of our accessibility talks dropped out. The speaker wasn't able to make it, but then we had a backup talk that was about accessibility. So we asked her she actually gave two talks at, it was Ankita Kulkarni. She gave two talks at Chain React, and one of them was about accessibility. So we want to make sure that got in there, you know, so we still have that topic covered. A bunch of other talks. Like you said, Josh, it was, there were a variety of things within just the umbrella of React Native. There's also, you know, the question of like, how many soft talks do you have? things like that. We try to listen to our audience, the people that attend, and see what they want and try to strike the right balance between soft talks and more technical talks. I think it also matters when you do it, like where do you put them in the lineup? There's some tweaking I think we need to do with that. At the end, if it's more technical, people are going to be, their eyes are going to be a little glazed over. So make sure that you have a little bit lighter content for the end of the day. And put the meat of the technical talks in the middle, things like that. So it's definitely a balance.
Yeah. When you say that, it makes sense. Like, let's do React Native content at a React Native conference. I think as you were talking, I was thinking about just the fact that if nothing else, like it's hitting at the kind of duality, you might say, of being a React Native developer, where like you want to learn React Native as well as the native platforms really well, but then also like, well, you've got a big React application, and so you're going to want to know about patterns and libraries mm-hmm. from React in general. And so, you know, I feel like as a React Native developer, like you're learning from React folks and from React Native folks.
Yeah.
And so like that's just kind of something, like obviously you're not going to learn everything you know at any conference talks, but right. It's interesting just to know, like, okay, I'm going to be looking for sources, places to learn about React and kind of React component design patterns that maybe aren't the specifics that Chain React can really add the most value in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And one thing I really want is more talk. I would love, this is a call out to anybody listening to here, submit talks about how you are in production using or like sharing components between React Web and React Native. I know that we get that question a lot at Infinite Red. And I would love to have more talks out there about how people do this. Squarespace did it last year. Bob Scirano gave a talk, really great talk, about how they share components between React JS. They're not using React Native Web. They're using React JS and React Native, but they're sharing components. They have a really cool way of like, resolving which one should be rendered in their build tools. So it's really cool. So check that out. But I'd like to have more content about that for sure.
Yeah, that definitely seems like an area where like there's not one obvious solution. And so hearing different talks, hearing about different tools, is very useful to see what approach folks might want to explore themselves.
Yeah, I know Expo's working on some stuff. They've got web working there, but you would have to, the problem with doing React Native Web or doing React Native in Expo is that you'd have to make that decision right up front. You'd have to be like, hey, we're doing React Native even on web. And most companies don't do that. What they do is they're like, hey, we need a website or web app. What's a good technology? Let's use React. And then they build in React and they're like, hey, we need a mobile app. What should we build it in? Well, React Native, that makes sense. And so they're sort of backing into React Native that way. And so they can't go back and undo that original decision of, hey, we used React JS Web. That's why I think it's important for there to be a way to, properly like share components between the two without it being dependent on writing it all in React Native. We have to see how people actually use it in the real world.
I was asking you before the show if you have any funny stories, and it sounded like there was not as many from this year, which it means that things ran well, which is good. But you said one thing that really got me curious, something about Taekwon Joe from a previous year. Is there a story here you want to share with us?
Yeah.
I just don't want to make ninja noises now.
I know. this was last year. I did not witness this firsthand. My son, though, Cedric, who's attended Chain React every year, he's 14 this year. So his first year was 12. Last year he was 13, and he was manning our table. He likes to be at our Infinite Red table and help people, hand out swag and things like that. That's his favorite thing to do. Second day, a lot of people were coming in without badges because they had forgotten them in the hotel or whatever. And we mostly were okay with that. But this one guy came in and he was looking around and he looked kind of unfamiliar. And he apparently was a homeless guy from Portland who had wandered in there. And he was walking around looking at different sponsor booths. And then he got to the Infinite Red table. And we had Gant had he had put a few things on the table just for like visual interest. And one of these things was a round coin that said Bitcoin on it. So the guy picks it up and he's looking at it and stuff. And Justin, who is our head of design, Justin Husky, he was at the table too. And he said, yeah, that's actually not for handing out. This is, you know, it's just there for interest. It's obviously Bitcoin is digital, as our audience probably knows. It's not an actual coin. So the guy was kind of just looking at it. And then they said, hey, do you want to sign up for our newsletter? And they gave him an iPad to type in his email address. So he typed in his email address. And then he gave the iPad back. And then he was looking at the coin again. And then he goes to put it on the table. And then he just snatches it up, sticks it in his pocket, and runs for the exit.
Oh my gosh.
And they're like, hey, where are you going? And he just runs out. And they just kind of looked at each other in disbelief. Like, what just happened there? And then they looked at the email address that he had put into our newsletter, and it was taekwonjive@mail.com. And nice. It was hilarious. And I don't know where that came from. Like, why Taekwon Jive? We tried emailing that address just to see if it went through. It did not. It was not a real address. But yeah, that's a funny story from earlier. We also had a few other things happen in previous ones. This year was actually pretty pretty chill. We had a lot of things go wrong behind the scenes that people didn't realize, because we asked around and, you know, said, hey, do you notice anything going wrong? I mean, obviously there were some people who noticed, you know, we ran out of chicken one day. So if you were the last like 30 or 40 people or whatever to go through the line, then there was no chicken, unfortunately. We just, you know, the caterer and us we miscalculated. So the second day we made sure we had plenty of food and stuff like that. And there were a few other things, but yeah, that was all behind the scenes. We were just kind of trying to make those happen smoothly as possible. And it did seem to go well. And like any year, we had lots of different little snafus. We had the lanyards came through they were the wrong type of lanyard. We had problems last year where like the badge would flip around on your chest so you couldn't see the person's name. So we're like, okay, this year let's just get a lanyard that attaches at two points. So they punched holes. Whoops. They punched holes in the badge on both sides and then gave us a lanyard that only attached in the middle. So we had to scramble for that. So just little stuff like that, but nothing really kind of like stood out as far as like a funny story.
That's funny. So I have a hard stop. So if you guys want to keep going, you can. Otherwise we can go to picks. How are we feeling?
That's cool with me.
Josh, do you want to start us with picks?
Sure do. Yeah, I have two picks this week. The first one is an article that I saw tweeted around just recently. It's called the Yes Silver Bullet, sort of a pun on the no silver bullet concept. And I'll describe that super quick. This is an old article from decades ago by Fred Brooks, I think is the name of the author, very influential, about the idea that we've had these like order of magnitude improvements in developer productivity. And he was sort of saying like, we're unlikely to get many or any more of those because we're kind of running out of those things. Like we just have the core of the complexity of the stuff we're building. But this article, Yes, Silver Bullet, makes, I think, convincing arguments that we have seen some order of magnitude productivity improvements in the last couple of decades. And his theory is, therefore, there's probably still more to come. So it was kind of cool and interesting. The other pick is a book called The Tyranny of Metrics. As you might imagine, it's a book that's kind of critical about the idea of metrics and just how if you are trying to measure things, it can cause problems. It doesn't always lead to improvement. It can lead to focusing on the wrong things. So I'll post links for both of those, but I recommend them both.
Awesome. I'm going to jump in with a quick pick. So my wife and I, we do a date night every week. And of course, last week I flew out for Chain React, which I really enjoyed. And I'll shout out about that. And then I stayed over the weekend and then I went to OzCon the next week. And so I was in Portland for like a week and a day, OzCon was also a ton of fun. But yeah, so we missed our regular date night on Wednesday because I was still in Portland. We went and saw The Lion King. Mm. And I really, really enjoyed it. My wife has really enjoyed watching the live action remakes of the Disney movies because they change up enough things to kind of give it a little bit of a subtle twist, or not so subtle twist in some cases. And I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist. I don't like all, I mean, I enjoy the twists, but occasionally I just want one that sticks pretty close to the original. And Lion King actually did. You know, there were a few changes that they made, but, you know, nothing substantial. And I really, really enjoyed it. My wife, we walked out of there and she was like, there was no twist. And I'm like, well, but yeah, it was a fun movie. It was a funny movie. Really enjoyed it. And so, yeah, I'm going to pick that and I'm going to keep it short because I'm running out of time. Jamin, do you have some things you want to shout out about?
Yeah, I've got a pick. So I got the pleasure of hanging out with Henry Zhu, who is one of the maintainers of Babbel. And he actually has a new podcast called The Babbel Podcast. And he interviewed Sebastian McKenzie, who created Babbel and Yarn and Lerna and probably like 16 other things I use. He's a really interesting guy who works for Facebook, and he is currently working on a thing called Rome. And so the first episode of the Babbel podcast is called Sebastian McKenzie on Babbel and the Road to Rome on, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts. So, and probably other places. So definitely check that out and see. I listened to it while I was working out. I really enjoyed it. Big shout out to Henry. It was awesome. He got to come over. He went to church with me when he was here. And then we hung out at my place for a while. It's a really great time. And he does a good job on the podcast.
Yeah, Henry's terrific. I met Henry. Natter actually introduced us. I was out in New York for a conference, and Natter was out there doing some training. And it was really, you know, we went down to Shake Shack and got some food.
He's such a real guy. It's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. He has another podcast too called Hope and Source, and it's also pretty good. So
yeah, totally.
Check him out. And I love the idea of podcasts in service to open source. So, all right. Well, Jamin, if people want to find you online, see what you're thinking about or tweeting about or, you know, blogging about or whatever, where do they go?
It's just my first and last name everywhere. So Twitter handle is Jamin Holmgren, and GitHub is Jamin Holmgren. Yeah, those are kind of the primary areas that I hang out. You can also find me in Slack at our community, Slack, community.impotent.red. Sign in there. There's a lot of React Native developers there. Come check it out. If you're already in there, feel free to direct message me and say hi. Happy to hear your feedback about the episode. It'll be cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Thanks for coming, Jamin.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. We'll have to do this next year before Chain React so we can get some more people there.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up, and we will catch you all next week.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.